Our week's portion is Parashat Emor. It's on page 681. Okay. Parashat Emor includes in it a chapter that is called Parashat HaMoedim, the topic of the holidays. In this chapter, we have a list of all the holidays with a definition of what they are, the mitzvot they are, that are done on these holidays. It is the part in the Torah where all the holidays are mentioned. We have in Shmot before the holidays mentioned twice, but only the three times that we come to Yerushalayim, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. In this chapter, we have all the holidays, including Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, all the holidays that we have during the year. Now, it's known and famous that when, just a second, it's known and famous that when we read a portion in the Torah, we affect by the reading the nature of the time where it is read. In Hebrew, we call it akriya me'oreret et hazman. The reading generates something into the time that it is read. So, being that we'll read this Shabbat about all the holidays, this Shabbat will include in it, in addition to the holiness of Shabbat, also of the holiness of each one of the Chagim. So it's a very elevated Shabbat because it has in it the power of Shabbat and the power of all the holidays. So we want to tap into it, right? Learn some about it and know how to actualize this potential. So I will not go to the beginning of the parasha. We will look at today at chapter 22. 23, I'm sorry, 23. It's page 683, where the holidays are discussed. And I want to look into it first in general, and then we'll concentrate on one specific part of it. So we start with Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, Hashem's appointed festivals that you are to designate as holy convocations, these are my appointed festivals." So it's a preface. It tells us you establish holidays, as we know we do it. We establish the Jewish calendar via witnesses, right? And when we come up with the decision of when is Rosh Chodesh, obviously we also define when the holidays will be, because we'll start counting the days of the month from the days that we established this Rosh Chodesh. And when the day of the holiday will come, Hashem will bestow the spiritual potential of this day on this day that we decided the holiday falls. So that's the preface. So the Torah starts with, "These are my holidays." So I would anticipate that the next topic will be Pesach, which is our first holiday, right? After we became a nation, right? We were given the festival of Pesach. But as we see, if you look right after, it discusses a totally different thing. Verse number three, "For 6 days labor may be done, and the seventh day is a day of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Shabbat for Hashem in all your dwelling places." What does Shabbat have to do here? We are discussing about holidays that we established. And based on the dates that we define when it will be, Hashem brings His holiness. This is not what applies to Shabbat. Shabbat is every other week, every seventh day, and it has nothing to do with any decision that we make. So why does it appear here? That's question number one. Then the Torah repeats the preface. If you look at verse number four, "These are the appointed festivals of Hashem, the holy convocations which you shall designate. in their appropriate time, and then we start a discussion about Pesach. So if the Torah wants to discuss Shabbat prior to the holidays, we would anticipate that the Torah will say, for 6 days, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, for 6 days you shall work, the seventh day is Shabbat. Don't do any work, make it a day of rest. And then say the preface, these are my holidays that you appoint, and I'll call them my holidays, and then the list of holidays. But what is done here is a question, right? First, a preface about the holidays, then a discussion about Shabbat that is not like the holidays, and then again the preface, and then the list of holidays. So that's question number one that we have today. Then the Torah gives us a list of holidays. If you look, the first one is Pesach. And then in verse number 9, after discussing Pesach, the Torah says the following. Hashem spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you shall enter the land that I give you and you reap its harvest, you should bring an omer from your first harvest to the Kohen. He shall wave the omer before Hashem to gain favor for you. And it tells us what korban do we have to do. And the fact that we have to count, as you see later on, verse number 15, you shall count for yourself from the morrow of the rest day, from the day when you bring the omer of the weaving, 50 days, and you shall offer a new meal offering to Hashem. So obviously it's clear, it's the mitzvah of the bringing of the omer, and it's not discussing a holiday. It's something that starts on the second day of Pesach, the second night of Pesach. It ends by Shavuot, but it's not a holiday. What is this discussion doing here in a discussion of holidays? So that's our question number two. Third thing we asked, why the preface about holidays before Shabbat? And why does the Torah bring Shabbat before the festivals? And then again, a preface about the holidays. Second, in the chapter of the holidays, the Omer is discussed. The bringing of the offering of the Omer, which is an offering that is brought from barley and makes it permissible to start eating from the barley of the new year. Every year we have a new harvest. We cannot eat barley till we bring this Omer offering on the second day of Pesach. And then the Torah discusses the counting of the Omer, the time we do it today too, right? 7 weeks of counting from the second day of Pesach through Shavuot. What does it do here? That's the second question. I want now to look more carefully into the psukim that discuss the Omer and raise a few more questions. So we are going back to the beginning of the discussion of the Omer. Okay, Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, when you come to the land of Israel, you bring the Omer. And I want to go to the part of the counting. Verse number 15. This is where I want to ask a few questions. Okay? So you shall count for yourself from the morrow of the rest day. In Hebrew, the rest day is Shabbat. Mimochorat haShabbat. From after Shabbat. We said we start to count the Omer from the second day of Pesach. The Jewish people did not come out of Egypt on Shabbat. So why is it written here from the day after Shabbat? Pesach doesn't follow based on Shabbat. Pesach falls many times during the week, sometimes on Shabbat too, but it falls many times during the week. So if this is the case, and we start to count the Omer from the second day of Pesach, why does the Torah tell us from after Shabbat? Okay, next. Until the morrow of the seventh week, you shall count 50 days, and you shall offer a new meal offering to Hashem. From your dwelling places, you shall bring bread that shall be waved. I want you to pay attention to it, that this offering is waived, right? Two loaves made of two-tenths ephah, they shall be fine flours. Okay, I'm skipping, okay, the details of the offering, okay? And I'm emphasizing again, 17. From your dwelling places, you shall bring bread. No, I'm sorry. 16. Yeah? Okay. To Hashem, from your dwelling places. No, that's 17 already. 16. Okay. Here it is. Until the morrow of the seventh week, you shall count 50 days. Right? So, and how much do you count? So if you look further on, right? From your dwelling, no, seventh week, you shall count 50 days and you shall offer a new meal offering to Hashem. I'm sorry, it's 50. Okay. 7 weeks, they shall be complete, right? Until the morrow of the seventh week, you shall count 50 days. And it says in the Hebrew, Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot Tiyena. The 7 weeks are called Sheva Shabbatot, 7 times Shabbat. And the question is, why is it again emphasized? And then, Ad Mimochorat HaShabbat HaShvi'it Yisvaru 50 Yom. Till after the Shabbat, the seventh Shabbat, you shall count 50 days. So it's not only that the first day of Pesach is called Shabbat, but also Shavuot is called your Shabbat. Meaning at the beginning of the counting, we call it Shabbat, right? The first day of the holiday of Pesach. The day that after it, we start to count the Omer is called Shabbat. And also the end of the Sfira, after we count 7 weeks, the Torah says Sheva Shabbatot, Ad Mimochorat HaShabbat HaShvi'it, till after the seventh Shabbat, you should count 50 days. So why is Pesach and Shavuot called Shabbat, right? They are holidays and not Shabbat. So that's another question that we have and we want to understand it, okay? To understand it, I want to go to what's written right before the beginning of this perek, of this chapter. Before the beginning of this chapter, the Torah discusses a commandment, another mitzvah. If you look at page number 681, I just want to put it in context. The parasha starts with different laws that have to do with Kohanim, specifically Kohanim. For example, they cannot go into a cemetery to touch a dead corpse unless it's a very close relative. They have special laws for marriage. The Kohanim have special laws, and the chapter of the laws of the Kohanim ends with the pasuk that I'm going to read now, right? And it's verse number 32. You shall not desecrate my holy name. What we call in Hebrew, Chilul Hashem, to desecrate the name of Hashem. We cannot do it. Meaning we have to make sure that's our role in this world, to bring Kvod Shamayim, to give the knowledge and the appreciation and the glory of Hashem into this world. So we cannot desecrate his name. Then the Pasuk starts, Rather, I should be sanctified among the children of Israel. I am Hashem who sanctifies you. Let's look at the second part. As we look at the Pasuk, it seems to us, and it's true, that it's two opposites. You cannot desecrate my name. I have to be sanctified. My name has to be sanctified by you. But if you look at the language of the two parts, while the first part speaks in a way that it's clear that it's a commandment, you should not desecrate my name, it's a commandment. The second part is not written as a commandment. It speaks in the passive form. It says, rather, I should be sanctified among the children of Israel. I should be sanctified. It doesn't say sanctify my name. And the question is why? And then there is an addition that seems to be superfluous. The Pasuk says, I am Hashem who sanctifies you. What does it do here? We are told what to do. What does it mean? I am Hashem who sanctifies you. So what is this Pasuk all about? We do learn from this Pasuk two obligations. One is not to desecrate the name of Hashem, and the other one is to sanctify him. And the Rambam counts it, right, as one of the mitzvot, right? He says as follows, Al da'at Raboteinu, the Ramban, Nachmanides says, our sages teach us that this is a positive commandment, shenekadesh shmo, that we will sanctify his name, and he mentions that there is another obligation in this pasuk, right? Not to desecrate the name of Hashem. And he explains what does it mean to sanctify the name of Hashem. He says, in certain mitzvot, that we are obligated to be killed rather than violate. There are three things that if we are faced with, we are told to do, we should give away our lives rather than do them. And it's known, if somebody tells us worship idols, we should say no, even if the consequence will be death. The same, if somebody tells us to kill somebody else, we should say no, even if he'll be killed because of it. And the same with Gilui Arayot, with adultery. So there are three situations that if a Jew is put in front, and of course I'm not going into all the details when it applies, when not, and so on, but in principle, we have to be ready for certain things to die rather than do. The three foundations of Judaism, right? If we are told to violate them, we should be ready to die rather than do it. And this is what we have to think when we say, Shema Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What we say is, listen Israel, Hashem is our God and He is one. He is one means that's the only worthwhile thing. And if we are asked to do something that negates it, we should rather give away our life than do it. And that's what we say right after. Love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul. What does it mean, love Hashem with all your soul? Even if somebody will come and tell you, I'll take away your soul, I'll separate your soul from your body, I'll kill you, you should still love Hashem and do what He commanded you and not desecrate His name by violating one of those three things. Okay. And this is what we have to think each time that we say Shema Yisrael. That's the meaning of it. When we say Ve'ahavta, love Hashem with all your soul, we undertake upon ourselves, we tell ourselves, be ready. God forbid that we will be standing in front of such a situation. But if, be ready to do it. Okay. To think about it, understand it, value it is one thing. But to do it is not a simple story. The will, the desire to maintain life, to protect life, is the greatest desire that a human being has. A person is ready to give everything in order to save his life. All that he has, he will give gladly in order to save his life. What means that the desire, the will to live is so strong by the human being that he's ready to give everything for it. And still we are asked, under certain circumstances, you should be ready to say, even though I want to live so strongly, that's my major aim to protect my life, I am ready to give it away in order not to violate these mitzvot. If we are honest with ourselves, we will feel that this is very, very difficult. Let's take a simple example. At the time of idol worshiping, right? If we would have been asked, bow down to an idol that the non-Jewish people believe in its godly powers, how much does it take to bow down? Now, the person bows down and doesn't really believe in it. He says to himself, I'm bowing down. I don't care about it. I don't believe in it. I just do the external thing. And then I live till 120 and serve Hashem fully and completely all along. We can do it. For this one moment that we bow down, we are told, you can't, you have to give away your life in order not to do it. That's not so simple. So, does Hashem demand of us something that we cannot do? Obviously, if this is an obligation, it must be that we can do it. So we have to examine it. We have to understand it. Especially, we know historically that many Jewish people chose to do it. And interestingly enough, simple people, and many times even people who did not observe Torah fully in their life. You know, the expulsion from Spain, when Jewish people were given the option to convert to Christianity or to leave the country. Many, many, many Jewish people left the country, and many of them died on the way. They couldn't take anything with them. The conditions were horrible, and many of them did not survive. And they knew they are going into maybe death, but they left everything behind and did it. And interestingly enough, the Abarbanel, who lived at the time, writes that the simple people chose to live. Those who remained in Spain and became Aranos, and later on many of them, most of them, assimilated over time, right, were the higher level people, interestingly enough. So we see that even a simple Jew, what we call simple, obviously no Jew is simple, but what we would call simple Jewish people, had the power to do it. So the question is, how does it happen? And we have to examine it, because this is an obligation towards us too. We have to fulfill it, right? And when we say Shema Yisrael, we have to mean it. So we have to think, can I do it? Can't I do it? So let's see what the Ramchal, the Moshe Chaim Lutzato, writes about it in his book, Mesilat Yesharim, the Path of the Just, very famous book, right? So he says as follows, when he discusses the concept of holiness, he says the following, and I'm translating, yeah, but verb by verb, okay? The matter of holiness, the topic of holiness, has two sides to it. The beginning of it is work. The end of it is reward. The beginning of it is putting effort. The end of it is a gift. And he explains what he means. He says as follows. A person has to start with trying to sanctify himself. And we'll soon explain what sanctifying himself is. But the person knows, I have to be able to be Mekadesh Hashem, to give away my life for Hashem, right? So I have to start working on Kedusha. I have to try to do things that will sanctify me. And the end is that I'll be sanctified by Hashem. Meaning, I have to do a part, but I cannot come to it by myself. After I do what I can, then I'll be sanctified by Hashem. As our sages say, a person sanctifies himself a little, meaning he does what humanly can be done, but he, with the life circumstances, the inner makeups that Hashem gave him can do. And Mekachim oto harbe, then from heaven he'll be sanctified a lot. Milemata, he is here down in this world, and he does what he can do while being in this world. Mekachim oto milemala. Then from above, from Shamayim, he will gain sanctity, meaning we are not on our own. Yes, we have to be Mekadesh Hashem. It seems to us something that is beyond human capacity, and it's true. It's true. It's against human nature. And non-Jewish people are not, because of it, asked to do it, because they are in the realm of nature. This is their place. But we are not. Still, we are human beings. But we are told, if you do your share, and you'll soon explain what it is, right? I'll sanctify you. Now he explains, what is it that we have to do? How do we start and do our part? So Hashem will add to us what is missing in order that we'll be able to do it. So he says as follows, Ahishtadlut, the effort we have to put, is that the person will separate and disconnect himself from physicality. It needs explanation, but I'm first quoting. To sanctify oneself means to separate ourselves from physicality and to be disconnected from it totally. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't have to eat and drink and work and go to sleep and so on and so on. But in terms of what we are attached to, that he will have no attachment to physicality whatsoever, inner attachment, that he won't, that he'll overcome all his physical desires, that they won't even appeal to him. But again, we ask, is this humanly possible? We'll discuss it, but I'm first quoting what he says. And always cling to Hashem is God, meaning his only attachment will be to Hashem. And Ramchal says, you can do it. We'll see soon. But then he says, you are required to do it. He doesn't say you can do it. He says you are required to do it. And then he says, but a human being cannot put himself in this place. It's too much for him. It's too heavy. Because after all, he's a physical being, he's flesh and blood. It's a very nice idea. Totally disconnect from physicality. Attach yourself to Hashem and to Hashem only. Don't have any attachment to anything that is physical. Don't have any physical desire. It should not speak to you altogether. That's beyond human capacity. So he says, that's why I said that Kedusha, holiness, starts with work, but it ends with a gift. Meaning we have to do what we can in this direction. And when we do what we can really, and Hashem knows what we can, right? Then he'll do the rest, he'll give it to us. Because what a person can do is the effort to know what's true and to develop himself into the understanding that everything that we do in this physical world can be done with holiness. Eating in a holy way, sleeping in a holy way, getting married in a holy way, where our attachment, while we do all those things, is not with the food, is not with the physical, just with the mitzvah in it. But the end is, when he does what he can, that Hashem will guide him in the way that he wants to go in it, and he will bestow upon him from his holiness and sanctify him. That's what the Ramchal says. So the Ramchal says the following. What we can do is stay away from certain things. Separate ourselves from certain things. Not necessarily practically speaking, from some practically speaking too, but in terms of the attachment, that we should detach ourselves from physical things, right? And Hashem will sanctify us. Rashi explains really the commandment to be holy in Parashat Kedoshim, right, that we read last week. The Torah says, be holy, right? So Rashi says, what does it mean, be holy? So Rashi says, separate yourself from arayot, gilui arayot, from immorality, and from averot, from sins, meaning it takes the side of what we shouldn't do, right? Don't violate what the Torah tells you you can't violate, right? And be careful, especially with morality. Okay, this we can do. But still, it's very difficult for a human being who is created with a body to be able to overcome his physical desires. Right? The physical desires are very strong. And when the bad inclination entices us to indulge in them, to follow them, even in within the framework of Torah, but to indulge in physicality, even to eat kosher, to get married according to Torah, but be indulged in the physically, with money, with whatever it is that is physical, right? It's very difficult because we have strong desires towards those things. So what can help us? We have a desire to engage in physicality. We must have a desire, awaken a desire for spirituality, for Torah, for a closeness to Hashem that will be strong enough. So this desire will overcome the physical desires. When we have a strong desire to connect to Hashem, very strong desire, and we strengthen it by learning, by following role models in different ways, we are able to overcome physical desires. And it's a process, it's a lifetime job. The question is, how do we do it? Okay, the physical desires come naturally. I don't have to do anything in order to feel a physical desire. The Torah says it. ולא תתורו אחרי עיניכם ואחרי לבבכם. Don't follow what your eyes see and what your heart desires. So the desire of the heart as a result of seeing certain things is natural. We don't have to invest in it. Now I have to work very hard in order to develop a strong desire for mitzvot, for Torah, for a connection to Hashem, that it will be strong enough in order to overcome it. And you know, at the time of a test, many times, it seems impossible. The bad inclination represents the negative thing as so appealing and presents it many times as a good thing. He has many different arguments. And the bad inclination is very sophisticated. Otherwise, it wouldn't be challenging. So the question is, where do I take the power to overcome this desire to indulge in physicality? The Torah demands it of me. The Torah says, Kdoshim tiyu. The Torah says here, V'nikdashti betoch b'nei Israel. Let's go back to the language of the Pasuk and we'll find the hint there. When the Torah says, don't desecrate the name of Hashem, it's written as a commandment. But when the Torah tells me to sanctify the name of Hashem, the Torah doesn't say it as a commandment. The Torah says it, and you shall be sanctified in the passive. Meaning, the Torah discusses it as a reality, as a situation. You should be sanctified. You will be sanctified. I will be sanctified in the midst of you. What does it mean? How? So there are two sources in within us, or two things that create in within us the situation of venikdashti, meaning the ability to sanctify myself. I am in a situation where I can do it. And that's the first thing that I have to understand. It's not impossible. Why isn't it impossible? Because of two reasons. One is that before we are born, while we are in the womb, we are taught the whole Torah. And even though we forget it when we come out, something is there in potential that if we awaken it, it has the potential, it has the power to overcome our physical desires. So we are not starting from zero. We start from a power that Hashem implants in us, and this power gives us the ability to do it. We were there already. It's like in anything else, if you did it already once, the second time it's much easier, even if it time passed. You learned how to swim when you are a child. You didn't swim for 50 years. But when you go into the water, again, it won't be like somebody who never learned to swim. Right? It's there already in potential. So Hashem put a potential in us that makes us beings that the name of Hashem will be sanctified by you. You have the potential. That's one time. The second time, I want you to look at the beginning of the Torah in Parashat Bereshit, when Hashem created man. It's page 11. When the Torah discusses the creation of man, it's the second time that the Torah discusses the creation of man. I won't go into why two times, but when Hashem discusses in Perek Bet, in chapter 2, how man was created, in verse number 7, the Torah says as follows. 7. And Hashem God formed the man of dust from the ground. So we are physical beings. We have a physical aspect. And he blew into his nostrils a soul of life. Right? He made him an alive human being. Right? It was just physicality, just earth, dust. Right? And he instilled in him a soul of life. And then the Torah adds, and man became a living being. Nefesh Chaya. What is the difference between the first part and the second part? Of course, if Hashem blew into us, a living soul, of course we are alive. What does the Torah add by saying, and instilled in us, and man became a living being? So we speak about two levels. One is a part that is created when we are born. In the beginning, before the sin, when first man was created, it was meant to be for all of mankind. Later on, it became just the Jewish people. Right? So what happens when a Jew is born? First, he's given life, physical life. But then something else is instilled in him. He became a nefesh chaya. This happened on Shavuot. On Shavuot, we say, about the giving of the Torah, we say, v'chayei olam nata betochein. Hashem planted in us eternal life. Planted in us. Something is planted in us, a seed, a spiritual potential that was given to us on Shavuot. It's there. It's our job to actualize it, but we have the potential. We can do it. Okay? So we don't have to worry. And the most important thing in terms of spiritual growth is to know and tell ourselves, if the Torah tells you to do it, you have the ability. Yes, you are a physical being, but you have a power in you that if you actualize, it can become so strong, your desire to connect to Hashem, to connect to Torah, to connect to mitzvot, that it will give you the strength to do what Hashem demands of you. So this starts with gift from Hashem. Then we have to do a job. We have to actualize it. What do we have to do? We said, stay away from things that have a power to indulge you. Limit your indulgement, your involvement in physicality. Give it the right place in your life. Know that this is not your essence. That your essence is your capability to attach to Hashem to that extent that nothing else will have a value. Nothing else will have a value. Now, every human being starts from a different place and is capable of doing according to the tools that Hashem gave him, the circumstances that Hashem gave him. But every human being, every Jew, can grow and can develop it. The moment we do what we can, what we should, we get again a gift. Hashem enables us to do what is humanly impossible. Because it's so, it's humanly impossible. If you speak about human nature, laws of nature are not changeable. So in the framework of this world and nature, it's impossible for a human being to give his life away for something that is spiritual. And in parentheses, we see many Arabs ready to give away their lives, right, for what seems to be an ideal, right? But what is the description of their spiritual life that for this they are ready to give their lives? Totally physical, an indulgement in the physical, right? Wine, horses, and women. That's the world to come. That's not going beyond nature. That's just thinking, over there I'll have more of it. So why not, right? This is not what we are talking about. What we are talking about is recognizing that the main thing in life is not in the physical realm, and trying to develop a connection to Hashem, to the source of it, right? Of holiness, right? And overcoming the physical desires. So we can say that there is a cycle. We start with a gift. Hashem instilled of us in us while we were in the womb and at the time of the giving of the Torah, a potential for holiness. And we are capable to make our situation a situation where Hashem can be sanctified in the passive, meaning it's a situation, it's not just a commandment. It should be natural to us to be able to do it if we put the work that we can and should. So we put the work by staying away from physicality to the extent that we can according to our level, but take it seriously, believe that we can do it and take steps towards it. And as we do our part, Hashem does his part and instills in us supernatural powers. He gives, he instills in us more godliness. And if we are godly, we can do things that a regular human being who lives in the framework of this physical reality can do. We can do it. We can do that. Okay? So, that's how we can understand. Love Hashem with all your soul, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your possessions. It seems to ask us for things that we cannot do. Be ready to give everything that you have, including life itself, in order to do what Hashem wants. Can you command a person to love something? Either you love it or you don't love it. How could we be commanded to love? We can be commanded to do or not do, but can we be commanded to love? But we are born with this love. Hashem instilled in us godliness that naturally loves Hashem. If we don't feel it or don't feel it enough, It's because via our actions, we created a blockage. And that's why we don't feel it. Every time that we do something that the Torah told us not to do, we create another wall between us and between Hashem. When we do tshuva, we can remove the wall, right? And when we do tshuva, we do feel a power and an ability to do things that before we couldn't, because we are purified. Right after Yom Kippur, after we return to Hashem, we feel a motivation and a capability to do things that before we did tshuva, will seem to be too difficult. So, the first thing we have to know is we can do it. Whatever the Torah tells us, we can do. Why? Because we are not alone. Because Hashem is with us. We have just to be committed to what we can do. Now let's go back to the chapter, and based on what we understood, we'll understand the questions that we asked. The Torah says, "These are my holidays." Back to page 683. And then the Torah discusses Shabbat. I am giving you holidays. You have to decide when Rosh Chodesh is based on the rules that the Torah gives, the laws that the Torah gives for establishing the Jewish calendar. You establish when Rosh Chodesh is. And then we know what is the date where a holiday will fall, and I'll bring holiness into this day. It means, in other words, that we can affect nature. Will Rosh Chodesh be Monday or Tuesday? Will Pesach be Tuesday or Wednesday? Right? By the way, Pesach cannot be Tuesday, Wednesday, right? But whatever, when we do it by witnesses, will it be today or tomorrow? Depends on when Rosh Chodesh was established. Right? What will happen if we decide this is the day that Pesach will be? Hashem changes the nature of the day from a regular day to a sanctified day and grants a potential there. How could human being, flesh and blood, physical human being, so to speak, making Hashem affect the days? It's because we don't start from zero. So after the Torah tells us that you have to establish the holidays, the Torah tells me about Shabbat. Shabbat is a holiness given to us without us doing anything for it. From creation, every seventh day is Shabbat. We don't have an involvement in creating Shabbat. It's a gift from Hashem. Shabbat is a gift given to the Jewish people from Hashem without them doing anything for it. It's automatic. Every seventh day, it's Shabbat. And on Shabbat, we have a neshama yetera, a special level of holiness. Being that Hashem gives us this potential, we can sanctify the holidays. We can decide when a holiday will be. Other nations cannot do it because they don't have the spiritual potential to enable them to do it. Let's go now to Sfirat HaOmer. The Jewish people were in Egypt. They were in 49 gates of impurity. They did not yet complete the work that would prepare them for the receiving of the Torah. But they had to come out. It was too dangerous to stay. They would have not been able to accomplish the job if they would have stayed in Egypt. So Hashem took them out of Egypt, even though they were not ready. But by saying Hashem took them out of Egypt, we are not speaking about physically taking them out of Egypt. Taking them out of Egypt means making us his nation. So obviously we have to be on the level to be his nation. So Hashem instilled in us holiness that made us able to become his nation. But it was a gift, like Shabbat. That's why the Torah calls Pesach Shabbat. You should start counting from after the Shabbat. Pesach is called Shabbat. Why? Because it was a gift. But we don't want to remain with the potential given to us by Hashem. What life is all about is that we will achieve. So the Torah tells us, start counting. You have 7 weeks. What are these 7 weeks? We work in those 7 weeks on the negative character traits that we have. We know it's 7 weeks, working on 7 midot, on 7 aspects of our spiritual being and purifying them. We work on jealousy. We work on the desire for recognition. We work on physical desires in a positive way. We instill in ourselves kindness and the ability to control ourselves and so on and so on in the power of Torah. 7 weeks designated to do what we can. Why can we do it? Because we had Pesach, and this happens every year. Every year on Pesach, Hashem instills in every Jew a spiritual potential that is beyond our level. And independent on our investment, even if we won't invest, every Jew on Pesach feels something. Something godly. And that's why even very secular people, if they have any connection to Judaism, they celebrate some kind of a seder. Because Hashem is still something from above as a gift. And then we start counting. We start separating ourselves from physicality to the extent that we can and in a gradual way. Pesach happened at once. We say, the Torah says, that we came out of Egypt very quickly. That's why we eat matzot. There was no time to finish baking the matzot. What does it mean? It was not a gradual job that brought us there. Hashem showed us, instilled in us a certain level of godliness, and we were ready, so no reason to stay anymore, right away out. This is not a normal way of growing spiritually. The normal way of growing spiritually is gradually, slowly, slowly, step by step, starting from where we are, seeing what's feasible for us in terms of advancement, and do it stage by stage. So we start counting. And as long as we do what we are capable of humanly, based on the potential that we received, we do what we need. How will it end? When it ends, the Torah says again, Ad mimochorat ha-Shabbat ha-Shvi'it. The Torah discusses Shavuot also as Shabbat. Because when we do our gradual work and do what we can, Hashem gives us supernatural powers and gives us the ability to grow beyond what we can do. The holiness is a gift. So if we work toward Shavuot on our character traits and grow on the level that we can, then on Shavuot we get again a gift. But this gift is deserved because it's a result of hard work that we put during the 7 weeks. Okay, now, the Torah says, Ad mimoch, sheva Shabbatot tmimot tiena. 7 weeks, complete weeks, you should count. But the Torah doesn't say weeks, sheva shavuot. The verb for a week in Hebrew is shavua, in plural shavuot. The Torah doesn't say 7 weeks, the Torah says 7 Shabbatot. And via it, the Torah gives us another indication of what will help us. Even while we do the work that we can do, we are not alone. There are seven Shabbatot in the period of Sfirat HaOmer. And each Shabbat is an additional gift. Meaning, we start with a gift, Pesach. We count for a week, we have Shabbat, or a few days, and we have Shabbat. Based on the fact that we worked, Hashem adds to us a gift. We have a gift, now we have more potential. We can work harder the next week. And then another Shabbat comes and we get more potential. This way, when we come to Shavuot, we are prepared for the receiving of the Torah. Meaning we are prepared to get what the Jewish people got on Shavuot. What did they get on Shavuot? They saw that what the Torah says, you were shown. Ki Hashem hu Elokim en od milvado. That Hashem is God and there is nothing besides him. This is what we are speaking about. You start valuing the relationship with Hashem beyond anything else. On your level, it's not all or nothing. But you come to a point where you see in a stronger way that the only worthwhile thing is the relationship with Hashem. And the more we have it, the more we are capable of overcoming our physical desires because they lose their appeal. When we have a higher level of pleasure, the lower level of pleasure is not appealing anymore. Look at children today vis-à-vis children when I was a child, right? Very small things gave us pleasure, right? Today, if you present those things to children, they'll laugh at you. It's nothing in comparison to what children have today. And being that they have much higher levels of thrill and pleasure, our small little pleasures looks to them insignificant. It's the same in spirituality. The more we understand, the more we feel, the more we experience the closeness to Hashem, the more we actualize the initial potential that he gave us at birth, before birth, and at Sinai. And the more we take advantage of the Shabbatot, of the extra gifts, the fact that Hashem shows us his help when we put effort, the more we appreciate what we get to higher levels. The taste is on a very different level, and this gives us the strength to be able to overcome physical desires. So in principle, when a person grows spiritually, he feels that Hashem is with him on an ongoing basis. Because think about it. Any new things that we undertake upon ourselves that we were not doing till today, either in action, in following Jewish law, or in development of character traits, whatever it will be, in the beginning, it's very hard. It's new territory. We have to fight in order to conquer it. But what happens after we put effort? It becomes natural to us. And it becomes easy. That's basically what the Torah teaches us by telling us, don't desecrate my name. Remove the obstacles. And then I will be sanctified amongst you. It will create a reality where you are holy. And when you are holy, things that were so important to you before in the physical realm of life are put in the right place. And you dedicate to your life more and more to what the Torah, to what Hashem wants from you. Okay, we'll finish here and open for questions and answers.
Can I ask a question?
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm just, one of them is quick. Just the three things that a person has to give their life is a vote, like idol worship, adultery, and what's the third one?
What are the three things that we have to give away our lives? Idol worshiping?
Right, adultery and
Murder
murder. Oh, murder.
and certain immoral
Right.
obligations.
Okay, that was just a small question. So
Okay, anybody
I'm just,
else?
no, that was just a small question. The other question, I know you explained it, but I got a little lost when you were explaining how we can decide when the holiday
I
is.
can't hear you.
I'm sorry. One second, I'm sorry. I thought you explained that we can decide when the holiday is. So I'm just not exactly sure how we're doing that. I know you explained it, but my brain couldn't process it. Like you said, that we decide what day the holiday
Okay.
is, but
Your question
based on
comes from the
Shabbos,
fact
something
that
like
today
that.
it's not done. Okay? Today we have a calendar that tells
Right.
us what will be, right? But at the time that it was done, according to what the Torah commands, it cannot be done today because we don't have the people that got the what's called smicha, got the permission to do it by a previous generation who did it because of exile and the problems of exile created. But there was a time where Jewish people had to see the moon when it renews itself and come to the court in Jerusalem and testify. And based on when they came, Rosh Chodesh was established.
Right, so that I
And
know,
it could be one of 2 days.
right.
So the base didn't decide when will be Rosh Chodesh. People decided when will be
Right.
Rosh Chodesh. It was given to us.
Right.
Okay.
But I thought you said the holidays that we can also decide what day. Am I
That
wrong?
what?
That the holidays we could decide, not that we can decide when
It
Rosh Chodesh.
depends on Rosh Chodesh.
Right. Oh, it's
When
but
will be the
depending on
15th day
when
of the
Rosh
month?
Chodesh is.
Depends when
Okay.
was the first day of the month. Okay?
Okay, so then the holidays based on when Rosh Chodesh is. Okay,
Right,
thank you.
right,
And also,
right,
once I
right.
just want to say something quickly. You said that things that children got enjoyment a long time ago, that now they wouldn't get enjoyment. I remember a long time ago you told us a story about your watch that you bought. You asked your sister if you can wear her watch for a few days, even though you didn't have one, and you were so excited you were wearing her watch. Maybe you don't remember you told us the story, but you did.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Before we continue, wait, let me just
Now,
make an
next
announcement.
week.
I'm sorry, I was muted before when I made the announcement. So I
No,
just want to
next week is a
say
regular class. Okay.
the
Fine.
class is
Okay.
Le'ilu Nishmas Me'ira Chaya Nechama Bracha Bas David Mordechai. Okay.
Okay. Have a good week. See you
You too.
next week in the session.
Wait, I
Kol
have a
tov.
question, please.
Go ahead.
Family.
Okay, thank you.
Let
I
me
was
just
wondering.
higher the voice. Just hold a
Okay,
second. The
I was
voice
just
here is
wondering.
very low, so I have difficulty hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Now I hear you very well. Okay.
Okay, thank you. All right. So when a baby's in the womb, we're taught the whole Torah. Okay,
Right.
a Jew is a non-Jew.
Right.
Does a non-Jew learn the 7 laws of Noah, or what do they learn? Because they also have the indentation between the nose and the mouth.
I don't know. I doubt it, but I would like to clarify.
Okay, so that's one question. And this one's also related to that one. Let's
I'll
say
explain why
someone
I
becomes.
think. Just a moment. I'll explain why.
Okay,
What is the mandate
sure.
for them, even in these 7 laws, is not what is the mandate of us. Okay, there are differences in what it means, right, for them and for us. And what they are demanded to do is logical. It's maintaining a society that one can live in. All right, so I doubt, but I want to check. Okay.
Okay. Okay, the other question is related to that one. Let's say someone becomes a convert, a ger or a georis,
Excellent
and
question.
they weren't taught the Torah in the womb. So is that made up for in some way?
Sure. While they, of course, they were not at Sinai either, right? Even though
Right.
it's written that the souls were, but as individuals, not as a nation. But Hashem grants them what we have in the way that we received it while they convert. They are like a newborn being, right? And yes, they do get it.
Okay, so it's dormant inside them.
Yeah.
Okay, so why do the Goyim also have that indentation? you know, that between the nose and the mouth, and they say that that's when the angel tapped over there. So a goy
I
has
don't
that.
know. I don't
Okay.
know. I don't know. But they are not taught the whole Torah because you are not even permitted to teach Torah to an angel.
Right. So I just don't understand why, you know, why we're taught that, you know, about that cleft. I think it's called a cleft. I don't know.
Yeah, I think by us, it's a result of the angel doing it. And by them, it's the way they were created.
Maybe. I don't know. Okay, thank
I
you.
think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Thank you.
I'll
Talk
check
to thank
this
you.
question
Okay.
for next time. If I don't
Question.
start with it next class, please remind me.
Okay,
Rebbitzin,
thank you.
one quick question.
Yes.
You connecting the attachment to Hashem with the, you know, you become so attached to Hashem spiritually that the physicality kind of like takes second stage,
Right.
right? So
Right.
if you don't, if you still, feel very much in physicality, does it mean then it shows that you need to work on that attachment to Hashem? Because it seemed that they are so interconnected.
Right. Now, where we start from,
Yeah.
we are not
Physical.
obligated to. We all can work on a stronger connection to Hashem and to refrain from indulgence to physicality on our level, wherever we are.
Right. So it's not a it's not a a standard thing. It's
No,
really where the
no,
individual starts from
no,
and
no. You know, somebody asked the Sfat Emet, who was one of the Gerer
Yes.
Rebbes, right? Was on a very, very high level, and
Correct.
his books are studied. They are very deep, they are unbelievable, right? So somebody asked him, how does one become a Sfas Emes? So he said, I was born on a mountain, meaning I studied from a different place. Obviously, he said it because he was very humble. He also worked very hard, obviously, right? But in his humility, he says something that is true. He did start from a different place because a few ancestors of his were very, very great people, and he got an ideal education, right? But obviously, he also put unbelievable work. But the fact that a person is born on a mountain doesn't give him any merit in Shammai because it's the starting point. How much did he ascend further beyond
Right.
what he was granted when he was born?
Right.
This counts. And what counts is not what he achieved, but how much effort he put into it.
Right.
And everybody can put effort. So this is what makes it fair. Okay,
Can I
great.
ask you another question before you go? I'm so sorry.
Go
I'm so
ahead.
sorry. You started saying something about that if Hashem asks you to do something, or if we're required to do something in spirituality, that even if it's hard for us and we start trying, then Hashem gives us the ability to do it. You said it's sort of like new supernatural. So I guess I'm wondering if it spills over into like a regular everyday life thing. Like what is considered spirituality? Not just like, you know, he doesn't have money to buy Lou Vanessa, and then if you try, then I'm not talking about something like that in
No,
spirituality.
this is not what I'm saying about.
Right.
What I'm speaking about is the connection to Hashem. The fact that we value the connection to Hashem, that we invest in it. It
Right.
doesn't have to be always in practical terms, right? If you have the
Right.
ability to put it into practical terms too, if a person has money and has the ability to buy a nice etrog, a nice lulav, or to put effort into be or put aside money for it rather than for physical things, and it's appropriate according to his financial situation and general situation, it's a very nice way to strengthen his connection to Hashem, right? But it's not just on the practical aspect, it's also in what we value, in what is important to us, what we praise, what we aim for. Where do we put work?
Right.
It's that life view,
Yeah.
an
So,
attitude.
I mean, certain things, say what's it called, say you're so overwhelmed with your daily life
that you it's too hard for you to deal with, and it affects you so much that you can't connect to Hashem because it pulls you
Hashem
away.
knows it too. Hashem knows it too. We do what we can according to our life circumstances.
But will
That's why
Hashem
I'm
give you the
just,
ability? Sorry,
he will
but
give you the help based on the effort that you put, based on your life circumstances.
and that, but that's it, because since it's interfering with your spiritual growth, all these, I'm
Hashem
just
knows it.
saying, like making money or just things that you're so bogged down with and so stressed out about, that if you
That's
try
why
to.
I said that the achievements is not what counts. It's the desire. It's
Right,
the
the essence.
attitude.
Right. It's just a hard thing to understand, to accept, but I guess I understand
But
it.
it's the truth. That's the only thing that makes life fair.
That if you
Otherwise, it's
try.
totally not fair.
Good question.
Yeah, go
Okay.
ahead.
But where was the Ramchal quote from, Robertson?
What did you say?
The quote from Ramchal, where was it
It's
from?
in the Mesilat
Mesilas
Yesharim, the Pesach, the
Yesharim,
Just,
the
and
Pesach
it's
Just.
the topic, the chapter that speaks about holiness.
Okay, thank you.
It's one before the last, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you
Okay.
so much.
Thank you,
Okay,
Rebbitzin.
sure. Okay, have a
Good
good
week.
week. All the best.